This is Jay Sekulow. The president issues his executive order on immigration. Some call it the act of a monarch.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The actions I'm taking are not only lawful, they're the kinds of actions taken by every single Republican president and every single Democratic president for the past half century. Now, I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own, but that's not how our system works.
You see the way.
Those members of Congress who question my authority to make our immigration system work better, or question the wisdom of me acting where Congress has failed, I have one answer. Pass a bill.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Scripture tells us that we shall not oppress a stranger, for we know the heart of a stranger. We were strangers once too. My fellow Americans, we are and always will be a nation of immigrants. We were strangers once too.
If he feels so strongly about this, and Scripture dictates that this ought to be done, why did he do nothing about this in 2009 and 2010 when he had control of the White House, the House, and the Senate, and he could actually have done this constitutionally by passing legislation?
All right.
He was making it impossible to build the trust necessary to work together. As I warned the president, you can't ask the elected representatives of the people to trust you to enforce the law if you're constantly demonstrating that you can't be trusted to enforce the law. The president never listened.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, we're not really fooling ourselves, because the president, I think, is the one that's fooling himself here. If he thinks the American people are going to buy this unilateral power grab, which is precisely what happened. We're glad that our television audience is here. We're taking your calls. We want your reaction to the president's unilateral action on the issue of immigration, creating a substantive right to work for people that are not here legally. And we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. This is a big issue, folks. And what we're focusing on, let me say this in the beginning here. I'm the grandson of a Russian immigrant to the United States, so I believe in legal, lawful immigration. We are a nation of immigrants. But my grandfather waited in line at Ellis Island, learned to speak English, and became an American citizen. That's the way it's supposed to work. That is not what is happening under the plan of President Obama. And the reliance, Jordan, by the president on previous administrations, specifically George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan, we have debunked that yesterday. But now that we know exactly what he said, we could debunk it even further.
That's right. The idea that President Obama was trying to rely on the deeds and works of past presidents is so false. Those past presidents were working under the authority of legislation that had been passed while they were in office, either as president or vice president. So President Reagan, he was acting on the 1986 Immigration Reform and Control Act. So was President Bush, who was vice president under that act. And by 1990, their executive orders were no longer needed because they were put into the 1990 Immigration Act. And Congress wanted these reforms. They didn't intend to write the law to leave out some of the people that it ultimately did. So there was no political partisanship. There was no outcry over this. It was just part of what a president does.
There was underlying legislation that supported what President Reagan and President George H.W. Bush did. That is not the case here. And folks, I want to stress, that is a fundamental difference. That's a difference between lawful activity and unlawful, unconstitutional activity. All right, we're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break. We'll go up to Washington, D.C., talk to Than Bennett, get an update from him on what's happening there. Here's what we want to encourage you to do, folks, right now. There is a simple way to handle this. A very narrow and very specific, don't fund this. Congress cannot simply say, we're not going to fund the actions of this executive order. You don't have to shut down the government. You just don't fund this executive order. Congress has the authority to do it. You want to join that petition and stand with us? ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. It's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. It is simply to defund this particular bill, the executive order the president has put forward. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Have your voice heard today. Back with more in a moment.
In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
That we play here at Jay Sekulow Live, and part of that is because it's the band here at Jay Sekulow Live that does it, and they do a great job, but we do a great job, I should say. That's available, by the way, if you want to get more information about that on our Facebook, at Facebook, Jay Sekulow Band. We encourage you to like that as well. Hey, folks, let me tell you what we're asking here. This is really very particular and very specific. We're not saying we don't want immigration in the United States. We believe in lawful, legal immigration. What we are saying is, though, we have a president, not a king. And the president is acting like a king when he imposes his will on the American people for an executive order legalizing 5 million people without any underlying statutory authority. And that's where we're drawing the line. And we think the power of the purse to not fund that particular bill, not a government shutdown, is the way to deal with this, to not fund that implementation of that executive order. So we believe what the president's done is basically created an unconstitutional environment to act. And I want to encourage you to join with us in this petition right now. We just launched it today. We're going to urge members of Congress to take the right action. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let me also say it's bipartisan. There is bipartisan opposition to this. So when you're joining this petition, Republicans and Democrats are supporting the position we're advocating. Again, ACLJ.org. Or 1-877-989-2255. Let me go to Than Bennett in Washington, D.C., and get an update. What is the sense on Capitol Hill? I know Senator Manchin and I think another Democratic senator have actually opposed what the president's proposing here.
Yeah, that's right. Joe Donnelly from Indiana came out and said that this was a bad idea for the president to go ahead. He joined Joe Manchin in those remarks. And you're exactly right, Jay. The first opportunity for Congress is going to be on December 11th when the government runs out of money. Congress has to pass a new bill to fund the government. So that would be the first opportunity to not fund this. And listen, if that bill can't get through the United States Senate, come next October, Jay, Republicans are going to control both the House and the Senate. So come October of 2015, things like work permits, Social Security cards, those cost money to issue. If Congress does not issue money for them, then the president can't go forward with that portion of the plan. I think
and
that's
we're not talking
one of the
about
strategies.
We're not talking about a government shutdown here. Very important.
Absolutely not, because like I mentioned, on December 11th, a funding bill does go forward. Senator Reid has control of part of that process. But come next year, Jay, he absolutely will not. It will be entirely up to Mitch McConnell and John Boehner to issue those funding bills. It would be to proactively fund the government, just not fund these items.
Jordan.
Well, I think we have
the two, we have to walk people through last night what happened, because the president has had an obvious change of heart on this. He also believed, as we do, that this is unconstitutional, illegal, and not authorized by the Constitution. It is not the kind of presidential power that the Constitution authorizes or precedent authorizes. Because take a listen. This is not too long ago, but it was before he was trying his reelection bid, 2011, talking to a mostly Latino audience on Univision, Byte 32.
The notion that I can just suspend deportations through executive order, that's just not the case. For me to simply, through executive order, ignore those congressional mandates would not conform with my appropriate role as president.
Now, remember, what President Obama is talking about there is not saying I can't give a pathway to citizenship, as he said last night.
Right.
He went so far as to say in 2011, I cannot suspend deportations without congressional action, without congressional authorization. But then what did he announce last night after his reelection, after the last midterm election of his presidency? Well, take a listen. Here we have it in Byte 18.
The actions I'm taking are not only lawful, they're the kinds of actions taken by every single Republican president and every single Democratic president for the past half century. And to those members of Congress who question my authority to make our immigration system work better, or question the wisdom of me acting where Congress has failed, I have one answer. Pass a bill.
Now, here is what's interesting, because Jay Carney, who now is works for CNN,
right.
So he talks about this issue.
Jay Carney, of course, was the former press secretary for the president.
Very close to President Obama. So you hear the two presidents there, one who was telling Latino voters on Univision and Hispanic voters, I can't do this. I can't suspend deportations. I don't have the authority to do it. Then last night saying, I'm doing what every president's done. So in some three-year shift, he's decided that he can now do this. It tells you he is the one playing politics with immigration the most. He wasn't willing to do it before elections. Cycles, because probably would have lost more Democrats, honestly, if this would have been done, let's say, 2 weeks before the midterms or even before his reelection effort. But take a listen to Jay Carney. What does Jay Carney think about the president's new revelation that he's just doing what other presidents have done in the past? Byte 31.
Other than his frustration, what has changed? I mean, he's a constitutional scholar. What has changed right. That allows him to do this?
Well, here's what I'd say. I think if you could have those words back, especially the first clip where he specifically talked about suspending deportations, then, you know, that is literally what he's doing today. In later instances, including when I was there, he would speak very carefully about what he could not do as president.
You know, first of all, you're the president of the United States. Here's the deal. You make a statement, that statement carries weight because you're the president of the United States. So you don't get to just change your mind, and there are serious constitutional issues with this, folks. I mean, I want you to understand the difference between what President Reagan did. President George H.W. Bush had underlying immigration law passed by the United States Congress. They were implementing it through executive orders. This is a situation where there is not underlying constitutional authority or statutory authority, and the president is acting unilaterally, something he is not entitled to do. Now, Than, I want to go back to this. Let's be very specific about what we're calling Congress to do here.
We don't think that Congress should fund these proactive grants of rights, Jay. Specifically, the ones that are going to come to mind are the issuing of Social Security cards, the issuing of work permits. That would take funding from the United States Congress. The Republicans are going to control both the House and the Senate in the next fiscal cycle. They should not issue a single dollar for those new proactive grants. And by the way, Jay, I think by the end of that fiscal cycle, they would have had a bill on this had the president not moved forward last night.
All right, let's do this, folks. We've got a petition that's up. It's very specific. It's not anti-immigration. It's anti-lawlessness. And that president is the one that's being lawless, in my view, on this particular thing, because there is no underlying authority. Again, I'm a grandson of Russian immigrants. I believe in legal immigration. But it's got to be legal and lawful. This approach the president's taking is not. Go to ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on that petition. Very specific what we're asking Congress to do. Don't fund the implementation of this executive order, especially with a border security situation. It's that straightforward. You don't have to shut down the government. No one's calling for that. Just this narrow executive order's funding. The House and the Senate have the power of the purse. That's what they need to do. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Let's take a phone call here.
Larry's calling in from Florida on line one. Larry, welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Yes, sir. You're on the air. Good.
I have two things. First of all, we have a president who's a Muslim president.
Well, I'm not. Let's not do that. Okay, Larry? Let's not do that. If you have a substantive question you want to ask, go ahead and ask it. But let's not start, you know, disparaging the president of the United States on a religious ground. You know, we're just not going to do that. It doesn't add to the debate. Go ahead if you have a real question.
Okay. The first line in the Constitution says that the authority to make the law rests in the Congress of the United States.
That is absolutely correct. And that is the fundamental problem with what the president has done here. And that is, you've got a situation, Jordan, where you said it yesterday very well and very clearly, the difference between what other presidents have done, Republican and Democrats, and this president is no underlying statutory authority to implement this plan.
That's right. Congress writes the legislation. The president executes the legislation, makes sure it is put into action. That's his job. And that's why there is sometimes a gray area, because the president's got to take legislation passed by Congress, signed by him, and then actually put it into action. And that's why, again, there are some areas, like we've seen in the past, that President Obama tried to cite where executive orders are necessary. It is certainly part of the presidency. We're not saying that's not the case. There should be no executive orders. But when they are issued, it is because of, as you said, active new legislation, so that Congress is trying to accomplish a goal. It's clear what they want to accomplish. The president is just using his duty to execute the laws and make sure they are faithfully executed to implement what Congress wanted. That is why when this was done under Reagan or Bush, there was not outcry, because it was what Congress wanted to accomplish with the law. And ultimately, they fixed those laws within a few-year process. So you can say, as someone of a historian at presidential power, looking back, there was active legislation. There was a fix on the way coming. Now, let's fast forward to today. We haven't had comprehensive immigration reform in nearly three decades. So since that 1986 law, President Obama cannot look to Congress and say they've got legislation coming. They certainly don't. He can't say they already passed legislation and they need to make some changes to it, slight changes, because there's no legislation there. So he absolutely has no underlying legislative authority. The Supreme Court, when they've looked at this in the past with presidents, that's when they're at their weakest point, one of their weakest points.
Youngstown Steel, the famous case that said when you're no legislation involved, you have a very weak ground for a executive order. Folks, if you want to stand with us and just say the power of the purse says you don't fund the executive order, Congress can do it. We've got to urge them to. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. We're urging you to sign on to a petition that Than's going to take to Congress and say just simply hold back the money on funding when it comes to this executive order. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Remember, we're in a matching challenge campaign. Any amount you donate at ACLJ.org, we're getting a matching gift for. We'll be back with more in a moment.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Good song selects, I might add, here today from our team at the JSecu Live radio broadcast. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. All right, Than, give us the kind of bottom line. We're starting to get a lot of people calling us. What is the likely outcome of this in the House and Senate come January?
Well, I think this is guaranteed there's going to be a fight about it. I think the funding fight is certainly going to be one of them. But I think something that maybe we've overlooked just a little bit, Jay, is I think the president did this because he did not want to lose political credit. I think he knew that John Boehner was going to put forward a comprehensive immigration bill. I think he knew that had a likelihood of getting through the Senate. I don't think he wanted to lose credit for this issue, and he thought that the Republican Congress might get credit by doing what he did last night, Jay. The comprehensive bill is off the table. The fight is going to be on the funding issue.
All right, folks, we've got a petition that's up, and as Stan just said, it's going to be the funding issue, and that's how you defeat a move to do something that the Constitution does not allow. So it's aclj.org or 1-877-989-2255. That's aclj.org or 877-989-2255. Let's take a phone call here. By the way, folks, we're here for another 30 minutes, so if you want to talk to us on air, it's 1-800-684-3110. Joe's calling from Boise, Idaho, on line 6. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just a quick question. If all this stuff he's doing is illegal and unconstitutional, how come we never hear anything about maybe impeaching him over it?
Because there's not the political will to do it, nor is there the political cause to do it. The fact that you disagree with the policy or even an action of a president, in my view, doesn't rise to a high crime or misdemeanor, which is what the law requires for impeachment. So I think here's what we got to do. We need constructive enforcement here. We need constructive engagement. And then when you look at that and you look at constructive engagement, that's where the power of the purse comes in.
Well, and when you look at our form of government, Jay, there are a lot of tools in the toolbox for the legislative branch to push back on. And if they don't first try to use that funding tool, if they don't first try to use, you know, the holding of nominations, which I think also might happen with the new Attorney General nominee, Loretta Lynch, if they don't use those tools first, Jay, it is just unrealistic to think that they would jump right to impeach it. They've got to try that first before you can even have that discussion.
Yeah, and Jordan, when you look at the politics of it, we're looking at the legal analysis here. Again, we're not saying we don't want immigration. Immigration is a good thing for America. I'm the grandson of an immigrant, so I understand all that. It's the legal basis upon which this has been implemented or is being attempted to be implemented.
Well, in long term, what is the benefit to these immigrants? Yeah, they may get a work permit, but they have no, it's not solid. They don't know if this is going to be the law for just the next 2 years, and then a new president comes in, and as quickly as this was done, this can be undone by the next president. So this is not a pathway to citizenship. It's a way to, again, defer deportations, but with the addition of getting work permits. Now, it can be done indefinitely, so it could be keep renewing and renewing, but these people would never be on a pathway to citizenship. They aren't eligible for federal benefits, though many states on the left, states like New York, California, they do provide these benefits to illegal immigrants who would then now get this deportation relief and work permit. At the same time, how many people are going to actually come forward who are in this category of people, pay back taxes?
I don't think so.
They say, you know, it covers 5 million plus people. Ultimately, we're talking about, I bet, 150,000 to 200,000 maybe
that actually
go through this process, which means no comprehensive reform at all from this president when it comes to the one issue he promised he would do something about. He could have done something about. He could have gotten blanket amnesty for everyone here illegally in his first term, in his first 2 years of office.
But he didn't.
He decided to pass through a bad health care program that is falling apart. So ultimately, by the end of his presidency, he may have no health care plan because that may be so undone by the Supreme Court and also just economics. And then he looks also at this situation where all he's done is deferred deportations for a couple years.
Yeah, and that's exactly what you're dealing with here. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Mark's calling from Orlando, Florida. Mark, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Jay. Is there a pattern here of chaos with this president? Every time they seem to get an opportunity to create such chaos, it's almost like if they could create chaos with the people
I think, Mark, there's a view that some of this is creating a chaotic environment. Some of this is a deflection. I mean, there's a lot of sense as to why the timing of this 2 weeks after a big midterm election that did not go well for the president. Why is this move now? Why didn't the president, as you said, why didn't he do it in his first 2 years when he had a Democratic-controlled House and Senate and the White House? But he didn't. So is it a chaotic move? Is it a distraction, a deflection from what's going on in the Middle East? That's an interesting question.
And a good friend of ours, Andy McCarthy, was on Fox right before you last night in a different show. And he talked about this idea that he's heard and from some of the legal world and the bureaucratic world that there may be a pardon coming. So when you talk about the chaos theory here, that this may be part one and that President Obama's kind of signing off as president could be to pardon all people who are here illegally. Now, that would be a
20
pardon
million
for their past crime of entering. Would it then create a pathway to citizenship? And what he said last night was exactly what the caller just said. It would create chaos. It's a gray area. It would not necessarily guarantee that. So would President Obama's final act as president be to throw the country once again into chaos?
Yeah, and that's a very interesting point. Folks, we're here for another 30 minutes. If you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, you do at SiriusXM, just go over to ACLJ.org. We're certainly streaming it live there. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Than, let's set it up again very clearly because I want to give a call to action here, folks, of what you can do and what we need you to do. Let's talk very specifically about what we're asking Congress to do here.
So the government is currently funded until December 11th. At that point, Congress will have to reissue funds. Now, that process from December until next September will be controlled by John Boehner and Harry Reid. So that may or may not be possible. However, starting next September, the programs in the president's plan that take funding have to be authorized by Congress. What we are saying, don't issue a single dime for these new proactive grants of rights. That can happen next year, Jay. John Boehner and Mitch McConnell just have to determine we will not send a dime to the president for this plan.
All right, so folks, I'm going to be doing some media on this afternoon. Jordan was on yesterday. I was as well. We'll keep you posted on that. Let me encourage you also, follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSekulow, so you can really keep updated as this information is breaking on so many issues, and we encourage you to do that. Twitter, also our Facebook pages, ACLJ's Mine, even the band has a page, Jay Sekulow Band, all of those, you should like those. Follow the information that we're getting out. Now, here's specifically what we're asking you to do. You heard what Than said, and it's very targeted. It's to withhold the money only from the enforcement of the executive order, so not other branches of government, not other funding mechanisms that are necessary. Strictly the enforcement of the executive order. I'd like to get 30,000 signatures on it by next week, before Thanksgiving. You could help us. You go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. You can sign the petition right there. So ACLJ.org. Or you can call us at 1-877-989-2255. So it's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. And you're signing a petition that's going to basically earmark out the funding for the implementation of the executive order. So it doesn't interfere with existing immigration issues. It doesn't interfere with the operations of government. Strictly the enforcement of this order. ACLJ.org to sign that petition or 1-877-989-2255. ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. And don't forget our book, Rise of ISIS, in bookstores everywhere. Back with more in a moment.
Thank you.
Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
That was a classic 1990s MXPX. You remember them? Still around. And the politics can be confusing, and I think that was part of what was happening yesterday with the president's speech, quite frankly. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Let's set forth here, Jordan, very clearly what the president has done. So we start from the beginning here, very quickly, refocus everything. What has the president sought to implement?
People may remember in 2012 the deferred action he announced for childhood arrivals. Those were people who were under the age of 31 by 2012 and were younger than 16 when they entered the U.S., had been there consistently for 5 years, at least in a row. So a pretty limited group. And he said that they would not be deported and that they could get some work permits. And they were people who had to be in school or were in school. So a kind of limited group. And there were some legal cases about that. And what the court said is basically that may fall under president's executive power. Certainly we don't agree with that, but that the courts were kind of less interested in getting involved. What he did last night very clearly was lift all of the restrictions on that. So he took that from a very limited class of people that would qualify to there's no age restriction. So you could be 55 years old, you could be 18 years old, you could be 70 years old, and everything in between. And as long as you meet the other criteria of being in the U.S. long enough and you came before now this law is going to go into force, you would then qualify. So he took very limited scope of action he did 2 years ago and expanded it to where it covers somewhere around 5 million people.
And granted a substantive right.
The substantive right to work, which he did under the deferred action for childhood arrivals. More people gave him a pass on that because we're talking about people who are under the age of 31 who came usually against their will. It wasn't like they decided. Their parents brought them here illegally. And so it was more for them, not for their parents, not for their siblings. This opened it. You don't have to have a relative in this situation. You just have to have been here for 5 years. So it really does open up the gates to people who don't even have connections to someone who is legal.
All right, let's do this. We're going to take some phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, who's next?
Yeah, we'll go right to the phones. Let's go to Ike in Maryland, online to Ike. Welcome to Jay Secchio Live.
Hi, Ike.
Hi, God bless you, Jay, and your crew and all the...
Thank you.
I don't know why anybody would have been surprised at what the president did, Mr. I have a pen, I have a cell,
yep,
about his actions. I don't know why they would be surprised.
Well, you know, he said he would use his pen, and he did, or he's doing it right now as we speak. The reality is, the question is the pen constitutionally to be utilized? And I think the answer to that is clearly no. Now, how it's going to be litigated, I'm not sure, but we do know this. The power of the purse is going to be the strongest avenue. I think Fan, again, reiterating procedurally what will happen here.
Well, I don't think anyone was surprised, Jay. I think they knew they would do this. Even Speaker Boehner said, ask the president, please don't do this. I will work with you on this. What they will do procedurally, they will try not to issue a single dollar to implement this. So they're not going to defund the government. We're not going to shut down the government. We are just going to withhold the dollars for this particular part of his program.
So, and I'm going to talk about when we come back from the break how much dollars we're talking about here, folks. So we'll do that as well. We've got a petition up at aclj.org. Let me encourage you to sign it, aclj.org, or call us at 1-877-989-2255. And by the way, it's just on the funding issue of the executive order. It doesn't shut down government. It doesn't impact legal and lawful immigration. Strictly the shutdown of the executive order. So it's very limited in scope and the nature which we're approaching this. We think that's the best approach, by the way. Very targeted. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Also, when you're at the ACLJ website, support the work of the ACLJ. We're in a matching challenge campaign here. We're catching up to where we need to be. We need your help. ACLJ.org. You make a donation, we get a matching gift. So it's ACLJ.org. Follow us on Facebook. Follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSekulow. Back with more in a moment.
In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everybody. And, of course, we're thinking the actions here of the president remind me more of a monarch than a president. You know, the president actually, do we have that soundbite where the president said that? He said, you know, I'm just the president of the United States. I'm not the emperor. I'm not a king here. I can't just, you know, put this in place because I want to put it in place. Let's take a listen. This is the president's own words.
The problem is that, you know, I'm the president of the United States. I'm not the emperor of the United States.
I guess that's not a problem anymore. He said that's what the problem is. I'm not. Well, but you're acting like you are, and you don't get to do that. And that's where the challenge of this comes in. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, let's take another call.
Brian calling from Texas online too. Brian, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, sir. Good.
Yeah, I don't really understand why the president is pushing for this equality for immigrants. I mean, what about the people who are waiting in line and trying to do it right? And then we got the people down south coming over and we're just letting them in.
Well, I think you bring up a really good and important point here, and that's what we're saying. You know, we have an immigration process. I think it needs to be reformed, no question about it. But there are people being approved. And how is this going to impact them? I don't think it's going to impact them very well. And you look at the situation there, I mean, if Jordan's right and it goes from this kind of two-year status to ultimately a pardon, you're looking at a whole different ballgame.
That's right. I mean, it's the chaos theory of President Obama's governing style, which is to let's see what we can destroy. Let's take down the healthcare system. Let's take down the immigration system. And ultimately, everyone, I will be known as the president who made the government everyone's savior. It may not happen under his presidency, but that's what he wants his legacy to be, because we'll be running to the government on our border. We'll be running to the government to handle the influx. You know what I mean? People are going to decide today who are in Mexico and Central America, time to go. Let's go. Let's go across. So we're going to have a jump up. This is what happened when Reagan did this kind of action. That was legal action, but we're going to see that again. And of course, with the healthcare system, you put it all together. And I also want to touch on the scripture that President Obama cited last night is from Exodus. And it's a scripture he kind of misquoted a little bit to put a spin on as he appealed to people. It's Bite 25. But take a listen to this. First, we won't even break down the scripture first. We'll just listen to what President Obama said. And remember, he's been president for 6 years already. Bite 25.
Scripture tells us that we shall not oppress a stranger, for we know the heart of a stranger. We were strangers once too. My fellow Americans, we are and always will be a nation of immigrants. We were strangers once too.
Again, that is, of course, quoting Exodus. Now, in Exodus, what the word is used actually in the translation is foreigner. Now, foreigner is like when I go to a foreign country and I visit, I'm doing so legally. And it's saying, don't mistreat people who are there passing through, they're visiting. Not the same. And by the way, when you start citing Old Testament law, and you do that piece by piece, you know, from the next few verses down, people who disobey their parents get executed and stoned. So he's doing that and quoting scripture in a way that isn't quite accurate with the whole strangers part. Part two of this, which I think is what's most unbelievable, and people really responded last night when I tweeted this out, was that if he really believed we had this kind of scriptural, moral, God-given duty to do this, and he had the power as president, why did he need to wait until the last 2 years of his presidency? Oh, is it because he wanted to get elected and then reelected and midterm elections and all of those kind of things that come in between? Absolutely. So it can't be much of a moral imperative. He's just playing with politics with that.
Yep.
And so, again, don't be fooled by the use of scripture, when in reality, if this was what he believed, he would have been doing it the first day he was in office.
Let's listen to what Charles Krauthammer had to say about the same thing.
Most important, if he feels so strongly about this, and scripture dictates that this ought to be done, why did he do nothing about this in 2009 and 2010 when he had control of the White House, the House, and the Senate, and he could actually have done this constitutionally by passing legislation?
All right.
So there you have it. That was Charles Krauthammer's take on the same thing. Let's go to Joy. She's been holding for a while from Virginia on line three. Hi, Joy. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi. I want to say a couple of things. First of all, I don't think a lot of Hispanics or immigrants across the America would say that President Obama is acting lawlessness. But another thing I want to say is I've been listening to Rush Limbaugh for the last 7-8 years. Before Obama stepped foot in the White House, they said that they would not work with Obama, that they would make everything that he do fail. It has been shown that has been the mantra of the Republican Party.
But Joy, let me ask you a question here with due respect, and I appreciate you listening to the broadcast here. And by the way, you heard what I said about I'm in favor of immigration. I am the grandson of a Russian immigrant. Jordan is just a generation removed from where I am. As you know, so this is, you know, I'm in favor of legal immigration. But the president of the United States had control of the White House, the House, and the Senate, and did not even think about moving an immigration bill when he controlled the House and the Senate. So how would you answer that, Joy?
I would answer that because Obama walked into this presidency with tons of things to fix, not just the
immigration. Well, no, I understand that presidents have big agendas, but this was one of his top two items.
Promise on the campaign trail, Joy. So again, he said he was going to get comprehensive immigration reform within his first year. Instead, he made the decision to go with health care reform, knowing the political consequences of that. We live in a democratic republic, Joy, and if these elected officials that you may not like got elected because they said, I'm going to stop the Obama agenda through legislative actions to make sure he can't pass any comprehensive reform, and then they get elected in free and fair elections over and over and over again, he keeps losing his influence in Congress. Well, there you go. This is America, the United States of America. But he came into office with an unbelievable amount of power. He basically used all of that power on what was a very unpopular, the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, as people call it. And because of that, he's been paying the political consequences of that with Congress since.
Let me tell you this also under this plan, Joy, and tell me how you react to this. A family with two children and an income of $20,000, which would be obviously low, will receive an earned income tax credit, which is actually a check for $14,590, almost $15,000. Even if they haven't paid in a dime, they're going to get a check from the United States government for $15,000. How do you feel about that?
Let me say this.
No, I'm asking a serious question. I mean, how do you feel about people that are here illegally, did not go through the system, will qualify for the executive order, and will receive a check for $15,000 of your money? Are you okay? If you're okay with that, fine.
You know what? The welfare system has been taking my money under enormous amounts of pressure.
I don't like that. I understand your frustration there, Joy, but I'm asking a question here. And let me ask one last one, and I'm doing this with respect. You have a view of how the presidency should operate. You have the right to do that. This is, we live in a constitutional republic. That's the advantage of living in the United States. We are all grateful for that. But you can't have an executive order when there's no underlying statutory authority, even if you really want change. You can't. You just can't do that. And that's the difference in the constitutionality. I appreciate you calling in, but we have a fundamental disagreement. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And folks, I'm not kidding here. This is there's an earned income tax credit, which means if you earn income of $20,000, receive $15,000 in taxpayer funds this year alone. That's even if you didn't pay any money in. Now, Than, how is that going to play out in Washington?
It's going to be significant. I mean, most people are focusing on the cost of issuing work permits or issuing Social Security cards. You know, at the end of the day, that's actually a small price compared to the price that could be paid through this earned income tax credit. Listen, if they start paying taxes, they're going to be eligible for this tax credit. It's fully refundable. So you're talking about a price tag likely in the billions of dollars for this particular tax credit alone. This is going to be a big issue here in the next year, Jay.
And this is in a time when we don't have the taxpayer funds to do it, but the president made his priority. All right, folks, we are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Jordan, very quickly here, the political ramifications of this, what do you think?
Huge. I mean, now you're talking about funding of the government, specifically these programs, and if Republicans are tough enough, and we'll see, they can do this in a way where everything else, no government shutdowns necessary, everything else gets funded, but these reforms, these changes President Obama wants to make because they disagree with him, they've got the power of the purse, and then you set up that battle. And the battle is not between shutting down the government, it's between funding this program that President Obama is trying to unilaterally authorize on his own without any statutory or legislative authority.
Then how quick does this come up?
December 11th is the deadline. So they have to make a decision before then what to do. And quickly, Jay, if the president wanted progress on policy, Speaker Boehner has been begging to write a bill with him. So the last caller was wrong. Republicans, not always popular, Republicans have wanted to work on this issue.
I'll tell you what, folks, December 11th is right here. So we've got to move quickly. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255. So what we've got is a petition that's very specific, very targeted. It says, we're not going to fund this executive order. It's not shutting down the government. It's not getting rid of essential services. It's not impacting Social Security. It's strictly, we don't want to see this executive order funded, and the Congress has the power to do that. So I'm going to encourage you to go to ACLJ.org or to call us at 1-877-989-2255. So either ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. Don't forget, we're in a matching challenge campaign this month. We'll be one in December, and that means any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. The best way to do that is at ACLJ.org, but you can call in your pledge as well at 1-877-989-2255. Follow us on Facebook, ACLJ, Jay Sekulow. Even our band has a Facebook page, Jay Sekulow Band. Follow Jordan on Twitter, twitter.com/Jordan Sekulow. We'll come back with your phone calls. A lot of you have been holding. Hang on there. We'll get to you right after the break.
The brutality of ISIS is unspeakable. The strategy of ISIS, the Islamic State, is clear. Beheadings, crucifixions, mass executions, and a wave of anti-Christian abuse that's been called, quote, the worst religious persecution since the Holocaust. In a new book, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow and his Law of War team examine the rise of ISIS and the very real and present danger it poses to the world, including right here in the United States. It's called Rise of ISIS, a must-read as America faces new and dangerous threats. Help us sound the alarm. We must get the nation's attention, the government's attention. Help us spread the word. Buy the book, read it, and tell your friends. When you buy the book, you'll also receive a powerful new song, Where I Stand by the Jay Sekulow Band. Order Rise of ISIS online at riseofisis.com. Also available in bookstores everywhere. In what can only be described as a historic power grab, President Obama acted alone, bypassing Congress, turning his back on the Constitution and the rule of law. He's moving forward with an unconstitutional immigration plan, changing the law by executive fiat, something that he does not have the power to do. While we support comprehensive immigration reform, which must begin with border security, such immigration reform must be done lawfully and with the participation of Congress. That's why drastic action is needed to stop the president's unlawful immigration order. Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Doesn't matter what you do, yeah, ooh, yeah, with you.
Remember that classic Badfinger song, but done by our friend John Schlett. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go a rapid round here. We've got a lot of people that have been holding. Jordan, let's go to who's been holding on the longest.
Yeah, let's go to Kadane in California on line one. Kadane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, God bless you all.
Thank you.
I just want to begin by saying, you know, we all know that this country was founded on immigrants.
Right.
With that being said, you know, I'm an immigrant myself, and, you know, I've been through a whole lot of trials and tribulations in this country to get my papers.
Yep.
And be where I'm at today. You know, America's a big country, and, you know, it's one of the strongest countries in the world with multi-millions of people and immigrants.
Yep.
And, you know, the immigration system in this country, when you really look at it deeply, is not where it's supposed to be, especially when you compare it with Europe. I know they're having their own problems in Europe.
Caden, with all due respect, I wouldn't be comparing it with Europe, where they have stopped immigration at the border, period. I mean, most countries in Europe, they're basically almost quarantining people when they come in, and we do a lot of work in Europe. So let me just say one thing. I know Jordan wants to comment on this. I also believe that we need a reformation of the immigration system, and I believe as a country of immigrants, which the United States clearly is, that we need to welcome in those people that want to become citizens of the United States through a legal and lawful process. I do agree that the system does not work the way it is supposed to right now. Having said that, I also don't believe that the president can take this action unilaterally. Jordan?
Well, I think that we also have to be clear that as a country that's well over 200 years old, we have to be ready to, again, act when there are emergencies. So when there are peoples who need to come to America as a place of refuge, that it's there for them. If we allow people just to violate our law and come here because of economic reasons,
yep,
come here because they may get a better job, and then three or four more family members follow, that's not exactly why the immigration system, especially when you're a developed country, where you want to be. Because what happens when there's a global emergency in some part of the world,
right,
and we need to take in 100,000 immigrants, and instead those spots have been taken up by people who came here, violated the law, and were only doing so because they may get paid a few more dollars.
Right.
Not exactly a humanitarian crisis.
You're exactly right. Elva's calling from Texas. She's on line six. Elva, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Elva, you there? We'll come back to you. Ralph from New York on line four. Hi, Ralph. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Quick, just a couple quick comments. I think I represent the average American voter, and I'll tell you why we're so fed up with what's going on.
We got senators, we got House, we got President lying to us. There's no accountability. In New York, Jay, Jordan, I know you're from New York.
Right.
We had the Teflon Dom, now we got the Teflon Bomb. Nothing sticks to this guy. There's the lack of accountability.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say it. I wouldn't have used the phrase, but you're a New Yorker. I get it. I'm a New Yorker. I get the phrase. But here's the thing it is something, Than, and that is, while Jordan and I said this yesterday, we wondered whether this was going to create much of an upheaval. And Than, I mean, I know there's a lot of people upset about this, but I'm not sure it's going to reach the level of where we'll get the action, unless we get people motivated here to take action here. I'm not sure.
It's going to depend on the American people, and they've got to understand that, Jay. It's about so much more than immigration or amnesty. I mean, it is about our way of government. It's about whether or not, you know, the 535 members of the legislative branch are going to keep their lawmaking responsibilities that were granted to them by the Constitution. If we are going to let something like this fly, Jay, the president, one person, is going to have the lawmaking duties. And I got to tell you, even if you agreed with everything the president said last night, one day, the president of the United States is going to be someone you disagree with, and he's going to have the same powers that the president used last night.
And President Obama was not accurate on a lot of things, too. I know our listeners care about, like, border security. I mean, he made these statements. I think it's in bite number four, and bite number three and four. Let's play these for people because, again, this was misleading, too, trying to say, well, listen, and for all those of you who care about border security, we know, Than, they will never move on border security. House Republicans, Senate Republicans have said we will support immigration reform if you secure the borders first, and it's Democrats, President Obama's own party and him, who refuse to secure the border. They want more illegal immigration. Take a listen, because this was just not true. Bite three and four, we'll play them together.
When I took office, I committed to fixing this broken immigration system, and I began by doing what I could to secure our borders. And over the past 6 years, illegal border crossings have been cut by more than half. Although this summer there was a brief spike in unaccompanied children being apprehended at our border, the number of such children is now actually lower than it's been in nearly 2 years.
Now, here's the point on that. This is the AP, by the way. When he talked about, oh, there was a brief spike, that's been going on since 2011, when that year 16,000 children found crossing the border alone. Then it gets worse. In 2012, 24,000. These were ones who got apprehended at the border by the Border Patrol. It gets much higher. 2013, 38,800. And then, of course, this year when it became a real crisis, you could say it was a crisis each time, 68,361. So that brief spike has gone on since almost his entire presidency. The other point there, he talks about, you know, I wanted to make it a part of when I took office to fix the immigration system. Except he didn't fix the immigration system. He did health care. So he forgot to mention there that that's not what he focused on.
All right, Delza is calling from Maine on line five. Delza, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Yes, this whole issue of the president seems to kind of mirror my young adult son, who sometimes tries to cause some problems. And I agree with you completely that, you know, we have to, it must cost him something for what he's done. But I think that we all need to come to a place where we can forgive him for what he's done.
Well, it's not a question of forgiveness or not forgiveness. And it's not a question of, it's a question of constitutional authority and responsibility. And that's really what's at stake here. It's the constitutional authority. And the president, by the way, tried this with the recess appointments. And we represented the Speaker of the House and won at the Supreme Court of the United States 9-0. So we understand recess appointments. We understand when a president goes outside of their constitutional authority.
I would love to forgive and forget President Obama. I mean, I really would. The problem is, decades from now, we're still going to be dealing with the disasters he's created. So you can forgive, but you will not be able to forget President Obama. Like it or not, we're going to have to deal with immigration because he didn't. Like it or not, we're going to have to deal with health care because he's created a crash system. And like it or not, we're going to have to deal with a new rise of radical Islam when we are the number one target in the world because of his failed foreign policy in the Middle East and Muslim world.
Steve, very quickly on line three. Go ahead. You're on the air. We're very quick here.
Yes, I wanted to make a couple comments. One of the comments I was going to make about the scripture you said from Exodus when President Obama spoke about the foreigners, where the foreigner refers to the Gentiles. But now if we quote religion, we ought to keep in mind that God says that I will fight all your battles.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And look, I think you pray for those in authority and pray for leadership. Carl, I've got 10 seconds here, Carl. Go ahead.
Yeah, real quickly, I think the Republicans, the best thing they should do is address the illegal immigrant community directly, saying you've been given a cruel hoax by Obama, you are still illegal status and subject to deportation.
I think you actually have, because they are, and there's no, as Jordan said, there's absolutely no plan here. I agree with you. Folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. Well, it should, may well be this topic, but who knows what the weekend will hold. ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 to sign on to that petition. Again, ACLJ.org or 877-989-2255. I encourage you to sign this petition. Stop the funding of the very narrow aspect of the implementation of the executive order. Also, we're in that matching challenge. Any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for at ACLJ.org. Like us on Facebook. Share us on Facebook. And our book, Rise of ISIS, a number one New York Times bestseller in bookstores everywhere.
Congress has the power of the purse, and Congress can shut off the funding spigot and refuse to authorize taxpayer dollars to fund the president's reckless plan. We're not talking about shutting down the government, but a tailored approach by Congress with a very specific demand. Tell Congress no funding for President Obama's unconstitutional immigration order. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.